Father, I want to thank you. The music today was exceptional. James came up and did the offertory, and I could tell he memorized the story. He didn't read it to us. And Lord, the children singing, the prayers that were prayed, oh, thank you. And now, Lord, I don't want to let you down. And the only way that that will not happen, that I let you down, is if the Spirit would engage me so that the words I speak are yours, the face that we see and the voice we hear is yours. So please do this for us in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay. Friendship banquet tonight. I want you to take a look at a black slide. The 2520 came out not long ago. This church, by the way, addressed it. But over this 2520, we lost members and friends from the congregation. Then came the Lunar Sabbath shortly after that. And because of that teaching, we lost members and we lost friends. And then came this Holy Spirit, which is going on right now rampantly around the world. It's not the third person of the Godhead. And of course, we did a four-part series on that, debunking that. But we lost church members and friends. And then there's always Ellen White is not a prophet. You can read all about that on the internet. And we lose members and friends over that. And then, of course, the law of God was nailed to the cross, Calvary's cross, and no longer viable. And therefore, we, again, have lost members and friends. We've lost pastors in all these categories. The Sabbath was replaced by Sunday. That's the resurrection morning. Besides, Sabbath is very difficult to keep. I can't keep my job. And so we've lost members and friends, etc. We could go to social drinking. It's okay to have a little bit of wine to drink. And some of our other standards. And we lose members and friends. And then number eight, folks, I want you to think really hard about this. And I believe, was it Ron prayed about this in his prayer? Somebody said something today. We have hundreds of missing members from our church that used to come here and still live here, and they don't come anymore. And so I'm starting the six-part series. The series is entitled, Who is a Faithful and Wise Servant? I invite you to take your Bibles, if you would, turn with me to Matthew 24, and we're going to read about this. And we're going to look at this through a series of six sermons. Who is a faithful and wise servant? Okay, Matthew 24. Children, get your Bibles out. Please turn to Matthew 24. And we want you to follow along in your Bible. And again, as always, if you don't have a Bible, one of you children, you come see me after church and I'll give you a new one. Matthew 24, we're going to start reading at verse 45. Matthew 24, verse 45. Here we go. My Bible says this. Who then is a faithful and wise servant, whom his master made rule over his household, to give them food in due season? Blessed is that servant who the master, when he comes, will find so doing. Assuredly, I say to you that he will make him ruler over all of his goods. But if that evil servant says in his heart, my master is delaying his coming, and begins to beat his fellow servants and to eat and drink with the drunkards, the master of that servant will come on a day when he is not looking for him, and at an hour that he is not aware of, and will cut him in two and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites, and they shall be, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Who is a faithful and good servant? Part one is, he will not be deceived. That's part one. And I'm going to show you something real interesting. So take your Bibles, you got them open already. Go to verse 1 of chapter 4. And let's look at the context of this statement that Jesus made at the close of chapter 24. So go to the very first verse, and we're going to look at the context, and then we're going to look at this idea of deception. Context. Then Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his servants came up to show him the building of the temple. And Jesus said to him, "Do you not see these things? Assuredly, I say to you, not one stone shall be left here upon another that shall not be thrown down." And now as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately saying, "Tell us what these, tell us when will these be? And what will be the signs of your coming and the end of the age?" And so we look at the context here. First of all, after they left the temple, he went to the mount. A select group of his disciples followed him because they were shocked at his statement. He was referring to the temple, this huge, beautiful Ephesus that was built for the worship of God and embellished even by the Roman Empire. And he said, not one stone will be upon another. They came up there and they said to him, asked him these three questions. They said, when will these things be? And what will be the sign of your coming? And what will be the end of the age? And I added, that means that chapter 24, the context of who is a faithful and wise servant, is in the context of the last days. That's why this is so important. And so let me show you. You all know Matthew 24. You know he gives the signs of the second coming. But did you notice this? The very first thing he said in answer to those three questions that is dealing with us today, take heed that no one deceive you. For many will come in my name and say, I am the Christ. And will do what? Will deceive many. So look carefully, take heed that no one deceive you. And then he ends with the word, and will deceive many. The very first thing that he mentioned in answer to the disciples' questions about the last days of Earth's history is, don't let anybody deceive you. Now you see, for the introduction of my servants, all these false doctrines, suggestions, ideas that are being brought forth, people go for it and they leave the church. And Jesus said, take heed and no one deceive you. Well, let's take a look at that Greek word deceive. The Greek word deceive is planao. In the Greek, it's planao. It's a verb. It means cause to get, cause to what? Rome from safety. It means away from Rome from truth. Rome from virtue. Go astray. Be deceived, err, seduced, wander, be out of the way. You know, those first couple Romes covered all. And again, I want to mention to you, it's amazing to me how all of a sudden the Seventh-day Adventist standards are being rearranged according to cultural desires and tastes. Not to mention, unfortunately, our doctrines too, because, you know, they just don't fit so much in our society. Well, if you think that that's just a trite statement, I want to remind you of an incident that once took place about 6,000 years ago. I want you to know that Adam and Eve were absolutely perfect. I want you to know they weren't hot, they weren't cold, they weren't hungry, they weren't lonely, they weren't depressed, they weren't stressed, they weren't addicted. And yet, a serpent was able to do what to them? Deceive them. So please, don't pass this sermon off or this statement off as trite. In fact, what boggles my mind all the more, I should have had that slide too, is the fact that how many angels believed? A third of the angels in the very presence of God. And so when I read this, we need to be taking this serious, folks. We need to see that God isn't kidding. In fact, he goes on. We get down to verse 11. It says, then many false prophets will arise up and what? Wait a minute. Didn't he already say that? Hey, when your mother repeated something to you, was it important? Amen. For me, it was Peter, Peter. But when I did something wrong, it was Roland, Peter, Neary, come here. I always knew then I was in big trouble. Folks, he's not. But let's pick this apart. Let's pick this apart. Look what he said. Jesus said he's repeating this idea of deception. But here's what Jesus said. He said, many. Many. How many is many? Polos. Singular, it means much in any respect. Or plural, it means many. As an adverb, which it is, or a noun often. Mostly, largely, abundant. We're not talking about an isolated instance here. Isolated, you know, we can sit there and we can go, okay, Jimmy Jones, and then there was, and then there was. And I think it's amazing because Satan sort of spaced them out so that we're... But in these last days, folks, this is going to accelerate. Are you ready for that? Because Jesus said, many... He said many false, pseudo-defriates, pseudo-prophets, a spurrier prophet, pretend foreteller of religious imposter, false prophet. I mean... Many liars. And folks, you know, if we had a chance, we'd go back to the last slide and we'd look at Adam and Eve. Don't pass this off. You know, some of you tried to work with those on 2020, 2025. Some of you tried to work with the lunar Sabbath people. They came, oh, look at this. It's a new teaching in the Adventist Church. And we showed them the answers from these scholars on what the Bible really teaches. They're gone. Call them once in a while. Don't answer the phone. They're not interested. The second time he said many false prophets. And by the way, there's that word deceive again. Plano, it's the same word. But I'm not done. Neither was Jesus. But let me show you this. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 11:13, for such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into what? Apostle of Christ. Paul, back then, as the church was in its infancy, warned that there would be false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming them into apostles of Christ. In our midst, by the way, I went on the internet and I tried to find a flock of wolves. But I couldn't find a flock of wolves. All I could find is a flock of sheep with one wolf. And by the way, that's all it takes is one wolf. Because if Satan can take a third of the angel, if Satan can take perfect Adam and Eve, then who am I? And then Paul went on and really blew our socks off in the next verse. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into what? An angel of light. Now let me tell you something. Have you ever wondered, in the wilderness, Satan walks up to Jesus and says, hey, if you're really the Son of God, turn these stones into bread. Well, folks, I want you to know, if that's the way it played out, I wouldn't have done it. But did you know he came as an angel of light? Do you know that he came and said, the Father sent me, Jesus. He has accepted your suffering. He brought me to tell you, you don't need to go on. But by the way, Jesus, you look terrible. You know, if you really are the Son of God, prove it to me by making these stones into bread. An angel of light. And a third of the angels couldn't stand up, and our two first parents couldn't stand up to the deceptions of Satan. And twice in Matthew 24, he warned us. He warned us. I'm not done. The third time in Matthew 24, are we getting the idea here? Then if anyone says to you, look, here is the Christ, or there, do not believe it. For false Christs and false prophets will arise, showing great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. Three times. You know, he mentions war one time in Matthew 24. Famine, pestilence, Matthew 24. But three times he warned his people about deception. And let's pick this a little bit apart. So first of all, if anyone says to you, look, here's Christ, he is not on earth, okay? Now, but I got to do a disclaimer here. As a preacher, the Lord gives you, you know, has to give us impressions. And one day I realized this. The average Adventist will say to me, well, I know Jesus doesn't touch the earth, so I won't be fooled. Do you think that's your safeguard? When Satan comes and right in front of you, a friend brought you to his church, and suddenly in the garb of a pastor, he raises someone from the dead. And he speaks glowing words straight from the Bible, just like Jesus. I maybe shouldn't illustrate that way because it's going to be worse than I can illustrate. But if Jesus mentions three times about deception, there's something here. Not only that, notice now, there's both false Christs and false prophets. The first mention, don't let anybody deceive you, for many will come in my name, false Christ, and deceive many. But the second time he said, many false prophets. But in the third time, he reminds us that there will be false prophets and false Christs. And notice it says in the text, that will do great signs and wonders. And there's that part C you can see on the slide. Great is megalos. And the minute I read that in the Greek, I thought of meg. But it's megalos. And it means big. It means literally or figuratively in a very wide application. Fear. Exceedingly great. High, large, loud, mighty. We're not talking about the sleight of hand that you may see on your television set or if you've ever gone on the strip to any of these illusionists. We're talking about more than that. And so it uses the word great. And then we go on and we got to look at these words too. It says signs. Say my own. Say my own is a sign. And in the Greek it means an indication, especially ceremonial and supernatural miracle. They'll perform miracles, not illusions. There's one guy on the strip and I've not gone to any of them because if they're illusionists, that to me is spiritualism. But I heard that he moved the island in Hawaii in front of all these people. But you know, when the show was over and the people all left, that island was in the same spot it was before. These miracles, it'll be different when they're done. And we're going to go. And then we look at it and it says wonders. Boy, I like this one, the wonders. A wonder is teres. That's the Hebrew or the Greek, teres. It means a prodigy or omen or wonder. Now, if it's like a wonder, everybody thinks, well, Jesus said great miracles and miracles. But you know what the definition of prodigy is? The definition of prodigy is a person, especially a young one, endowed with exceptional qualities and abilities. And that brought me right back to false Christs and false prophets. And then, of course, these great signs and wonders that they will produce in front of us. The word deceive, planao, is there again, the third time. And let me remind you of our scripture reading. We looked at Revelation 13:13. He performed great. There's megalos again. Signs. Simeon again. And he deceived planao, those who dwell on the earth, with those signs which was granted him in the sight of the beast. By the way, there are two other places I could take you to in Revelation, and I'm not going to, that warn you and I that miracles, incredible miracles, will take place for the purpose of deceiving. And then let me finish this last point, the third point. He goes on to say, see, I have told you beforehand. I've told you. I've warned you. This isn't kids' games. This is serious. How well do we know Jesus? How well do we know our Bibles? Are we ready to stand up to these incredible, great signs and wonders and prodigies? I have told you beforehand, so you can't say I didn't warn you. Therefore, if they say to you, look, he is in the desert, do not go out there. Or, look, he is in the inner room, do not believe it. For as lightning comes out of the east and flashes to the west, so must the coming of the Son of Man be. Now, folks, I'm going to say this, though. That text debunks the most accepted false secret rapture. There's nothing secret about when lightning flashes from the east to the west. It ain't secret. And that false doctrine has been accepted by millions of Christians, and it isn't in the Bible. And so the question asks the first time out of six, who is the faithful and wise servant? And the first answer we give is one who lets person or thing, I think that should be doesn't let. The one who doesn't let a person or a thing deceive him or her. And so here we have Jesus. One simple sentence from the Acts of the Apostles. And I want you to just bask in this sentence. Actually, there's two. Behold, look at, study, fix your attention on the Son of God in prayer to His Father. Though He is the Son of God, He strengthens His faith by prayer and by communion with heaven, gathers to Himself power, the Holy Spirit, to resist evil and to minister to the needs of men. Let me show you the truth of this. This is Franklin Edson Belden. Anybody know who F.E. Belden is? Some of you do. F.E. Belden. F.E. Belden was a prolific writer of hymns in the Seventh-day Adventist Church. Frank would come to an evangelistic meeting or a sermon with his secretary. He would sit right in the front row. The preacher would stand up. Back those days, he first declared his text. Then is a faithful and wise servant? And the preacher never got very farther than that, and maybe only that. And Frank would start to write a hymn right there that matched the sermon. When the sermon was ended, Frank would stand up, his secretary would go to the piano, and he would sing the hymn he just wrote. Franklin Belden was a nephew of Ellen White. And Franklin got a little disturbed with the Review and Herald. He felt he should get royalties for his work. The Review and Herald said, Frank, we pay you a salary, so we have property rights to your material. So he wrote a letter to his aunt. Dear Aunt Ellen, would you help me with the Review and Herald? And she wrote back and said, Franklin, I cannot, because your attitude is wrong. Therefore, I won't go to them, and you should let this go and leave it in God's hand. And Franklin Belden left the church. And years later, a couple of Adventist preachers went to him and visited him in trying to bring him back. And he invited them in, but he knew right away. I mean, you know, we got this look. And he invited them in because they said, "We have a check for you, Frank." And it was from the Review and Herald, and it was for some of his memorabilia that they bought and to put in the museum, because he was such an incredible force in the Review and Herald in the music department. Put the title up. And he said, "Gentlemen, hold it, gentlemen. I have one question for you. Do you still believe in that woman?" And they looked at him and they said, "Yes, we do." And Frank went. They got up and they walked out the door. Sometime later, he died. Now, whether he had a conversion in that time or not, no one knows. But folks, this deception is real. The closing hymn we're going to sing is one of Franklin Belden's song. "Hold fast till I come." Father in heaven, I just wonder how many here today feel like they're not holding fast. And Lord, I could have said "come forward," but then I remembered if I do that, then everybody will go, not holding fast, huh? And the truth is, maybe all of us are in that boat. So Lord, we come to you and we pray for spiritual eyesight, that as Jesus receives strong faith and also power through prayer, that we would make a decision right now before we leave to practice what Jesus did. "Behold, the Son of God bowed in prayer to his Father, though he is the Son of God." And so, Lord, let your Spirit now move on this congregation, on me, on all of us, that we would make a decision right now in our minds to allow your Spirit to envelop and surround and pervade our minds as we pray and study our Bibles, so that these great deceptions that will multiply and accelerate will not touch us. So bless to this end, be with each and every person, and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. International copyright, all rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.AmericanChristianMinistry.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There's no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with the speakers and volunteer workers to encourage you. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He is coming soon.